Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the listening of this beautiful book, The Secret of the Love of God, which is being recorded in sections to match the movement of the writing, reading, which happens at 7 a.m. Pacific time every morning, 7 days a week, on the public telecall for Arterica. We're currently recording this 18th recording, and this 18th recording begins on page 146 in the new title of new chapter called The Qualities of the Lovers of Allah, which is a short chapter and moves into the next chapter, which is a little bit longer. And so we'll read for a little while until we run out of steam. And I have written some of this and read some of it, and it's quite deep, so I'll try to pace it and breathe into it so that we can open up our hearing. We'll begin with the Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم Page 146, Secret Love of God. The Qualities of the Lovers of Allah. In Arabic, As-Safat al-Mahbin al-Hayin. The Qualities of the Lovers of God. Know that to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many horizons of love. Depending on the extent of love and the quality of love. For example, the yearning, ashok, the ecstasy, wajd, etc. In each of these states, there is agitation and movement, which is connected to the total divine plan. The first of the lover's qualities is that which was mentioned in the saying of Abu al-Fa'id al-Nun al-Masri, may Allah be pleased with him. To Allah belong some worshippers whose hearts he fills with the absolute purity of his love and expands their spirits with yearning to see him. Glory belongs to the one who made their souls yearn for him and brought their understanding closer to him, and who caused their hearts to be purified for him. Glory belongs to the one who brings them to a halt in his presence, who entertains them with his intimacy in their loneliness, and heals their diseases. O my beloved God, the lovers' bodies are humbled and their hands are stretched out to you asking more of you. You have let them taste the sweetness of direct understanding from you, and by that understanding their lives are immersed in all goodness. You have made their bliss continue and opened the door of your heavens to them. You have allowed their hearts to tour your dominion. The love of all lovers is related to you, And you are the cause of the yearning of all those who are yearning. The hearts of the Gnostics have melted for you, and the hearts of the truthful and sincere had intimacy, uns, by you. The reverence of the fearful is from you, and the hearts of the ones who have shortcomings are seeking refuge in you. After having despaired of comfort, as they become conscious of the coldness still in their hearts. The seekers do not feel calm with any thought that does not have meaning to them. They are never bored of seeking him, and they are sleepless. They intimately whisper to him with their tongues, and they beg him in humility, asking his complete forgiveness for their lapses and asking him to overlook the sins they have committed. These are the ones whose hearts have melted by sorrowful contemplation. They serve him as dutiful, as obedient and sanctifying servants. Al-Abrar. We must remember the qualities that characterize the sincere lover. Excuse me. We must remember the qualities that characterize the sincere lover. Continuously acquainting oneself with Allah, being sleepless and with Allah, and desiring to abandon everything that is not pleasing to Allah, the Beloved. The lover severs everything that poses a barrier between him and meeting his Beloved. The lover continuously remembers Allah. Forgetfulness never overtakes him. The lover sees the Beloved in every moment and in every outer appearance in this lower world of the dunya. The lover finds no comfort except in the words of his Beloved and in his intimate conversation, munajah, with him. He is continuously between fear, khawf, and hope, raja. He abandons his ego for the sake of the right of his Lord. He appreciates any little provision that comes from his Beloved, and he abides. He abides by his obedience to him, and he does not disobey him. He completely leaves himself and becomes patient in times of distress, which is not an acceptable state. But the lover accepts it because it is what his Beloved has charged him with. The lover's heart is perplexed, preferring his Beloved above any other association. He's always ready for what the Beloved wants of him and gladly accepting his will with contentment. The lover is jealous of his Beloved. He does not object to his Beloved asking him, "Why did you do this or why did you say that?" The lover's secret is exposed. His secret is publicized and he does not know concealment. Whenever he commits a mistake, he rushes to seek forgiveness and repentance, and he promises not to repeat such a mistake. He continuously yearns as Shaw. His state changes from one to another. He's intoxicated, does not know tiredness. His spirit gives and his body's carried along with it. He knows nothing except what is in his beloved self. His eyes are delighted, and he does not speak except the words of his beloved, Al-Habib, and his protector, Al-Wali. Know that the lovers are the carriers of the Quran, for they are the safe keepers of all the qualities, and so they are the essence of the Quran. This was expressed by Aisha alayhi salam when she was asked about the ethics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, "His character is the Quran." She did not add anything to the single sentence. The carriers of the Quran are those for whom the clouds of sorrowful intent have passed them by. Their hearts are with the judge, Adayan, who never forgets or becomes unaware nor sleeps. They are enveloped by reverence and awe. They drink from the cup of certainty, Yaqeen, and they discipline themselves with the practices of the ones who have attained certainty. Their eyes are delighted with every small satisfying or concealing decree, and they have lined their insights with the antimony kul, dark eyeliner of sleeplessness and the remembrance of Allah al-Dhikr. They lower their gaze with their Lord, looking at him, prostrating and surrendering to the unfolding of afflictions in patience, knowing that their Lord is with them and that he will never forsake them or abandon them, because he is with the patient ones and because he is the most able, Qadir, to grant them victory. Their tears flow in regret for their weak abiding by the commands of Allah. They remain with the Quran with complete determination and faith until they gain the pleasure of the merciful Ar-Rahman and receive with the bliss of the ones who guard themselves against sin and harmful things and take him as their shelter and are dutiful al-muttaqin until they attain the wish of the passionate lovers of Allah. They weep out of reverence for his warning, and their conscience melts by his warning, as if the exhaling of the fire is under their feet, and as if his warning is before their eyes. Page 149, chapter. Know that the lover's form is a combination of nature, al-tabiyya, and spirit, ruh. The spirit is light and nature is dark, and they in his eyes are opposites. The two opposites repel each other, do battle with each other, and each demanding to rule and to dominate. If nature overcomes him, his form darkens, and he loves the created instead of the real, al-haq. So the light disappears into the darkness. As expressed in his saying, "We have made the night and the day as two signs. Then we erase the sign of the night and make the sight-giving sign of the day." Quran 17:12. Daylight is a metaphor for light. By this, it is known that light and darkness cross each other, even though they are opposites, and that it is possible that one becomes concealed within the other. Therefore, it's not harmful to love the real within the creation in order to unite the two of the natural and the spiritual. If the spirit overcomes nature, the person's form becomes luminous and he loves the creation within the real as expressed by the messenger of Allah who said, "Love Allah for the gifts he bestows upon you." He loved him for his gifts because the one witnessed in these gifts is the real. Jealousy occurs between opposites, as each sees that its opposite might prevail. Each of them says, "Kill my opposite and annihilate it before it arrives to the beloved instead of me." If nature kills a person, he dies and lives in the world of the spirits. But if the spirit kills him, he becomes a martyr, a shahid, witnessing his Lord, who sustains his existence and provides for him. And in either case, he is killed, and he is in love, even though he may not be aware of it. As a lover once expressed it, a lover weeping from a love killing him cried out, "O killer for whom the killed is weeping, an intimate one shunned me while my spirit intimately filled his spirit. How is it possible that the intimate one alienates his intimate?" Allah created the human being upon his names, the manifest, al-dhahir, and the hidden, al-batin, giving him knowledge of the unseen world, al-ghaib, and the witnessed world, al-shuhud. He created an intellect, aql, for him, by which he can discern between the decrees of the two names to establish the balance between the two realms in his self, in the nafs. He then revealed himself to him in the epiphany, tajalli of his name. Nothing is as his likeness. Quran 42:11. Which bewildered him. He did not give him this epiphany simply to establish the balance, because he says, "And it is he who is the all-hearing, as-sami', the all-seeing one, al-basir." And so the person does not easily see a state that demands justice or the establishment of balance. Nevertheless, by this epiphany, he can transcend the ordered limit. For only the one tied by his intellect has an ordinance. But the one who is tied by love is bewildered and transcends the limits by being annihilated in his Lord. Allah revealed himself to him in the names of the universe and in the epiphany, tajalli of his beautiful names. Through the divine epiphany within the names in the universe, the lover can witness the real descending into his reality through his imaginative faculty, which is not of his own ordinary limited scope. When he partakes of the beloved's beautiful names through these epiphanies, he is overcome by the way of the people of Allah, Al-Atariqa. At first, the person thinks that the names in the universe were created for him and do not belong to Allah. As he progresses in the way, he thinks that the position of the real within the creation is like the position of the worshipful slave within the beautiful names. Allah then says, He is Allah, the creator, Al-Khaliq, the shaper from naught, Al-Musawwir, the former of the image, Asma'ul Husna. Quran 59:24. He is not witnessed by the creation except by his names. His are the most beautiful names. Quran 59:24. When he partakes in him by his names, which are the names in the universe that belong to him, the slave sees the signs, which were seen by the prophets during their ascent, their mirage, into the heavens, and in the delightful confidentiality of being entrusted with the divine secret, the Isra. So he saw that all are his names and that the worshipful slave has no name at all. Even the slave's name does not belong to him. Instead, he takes a portion in the same way in which he takes a share of the other beautiful names. He then knows that walking towards Allah, entering into his presence and being present with him, and cannot be except by his names. And all the names in the universe are his names, like the universal outer appearances. And so he retreats after he is caught short in acknowledging the rights of Allah, and is forced to do so as he witnesses the discerning, separate and distinct between the worshipper and the worshipped. This is a rare and mighty epiphany to Jali, and is the ultimate goal of the connecting ones, as it was described by one of the Gnostics who said, Approach me by that which does not belong to me. This was his reward from his Lord, who saw it as his utmost goal, and so the slave saw it the same way. I have not seen this way followed except by the prophets and the messengers in particular. They described him in the science of proportionate illustration by what is called the resembling qualities, asifat al-tashbih, as they perceived, interpreting these pictures in their imaginative faculty, that the real described himself by the real qualities. This view gives every name that belongs to the universe back to its origin, that belongs to the real and to the real. It is reality, not a picture. It belongs to the universe as a word without a meaning, but it is by the meaning that it was created. When the lover saw that the beloved was never overtaken by forgetfulness or sleep, he knew that it was because of his loving station, maqam al-hub, to preserve the world. What led him to this knowledge is that the real reveals himself in the epiphanies, through the pictures, the physical forms. And there are decrees which he gives these forms, and one of these decrees is sleep. Within the reality of this proportionate picture, he saw the one who does not sleep or become unaware. The Gnostic then knew that it was out of the station of his love to preserve the world. If the lover is sitting with his beloved and his beloved is with this quality, then sleep becomes forbidden to him. The lover who feels separation declares that he is forbidden to sleep. How could he sleep when witnessing and sitting with the beloved? And sleep during direct witnessing, shuhud, is even more impossible. Know that the grief and the sorrow of the lover is concealed and hidden, and there is no manifestation of it as expressed in his saying, they have not appreciated Allah as he ought to be appreciated. In his witnessing, he sees that no atom moves but by Allah's permission, and he is the mover by which his limbs move. In his witnessing, he sees how the slave corresponds to his creator, and that his bad manners, which are then attributed to him, are characteristics which he should not be attributed with. The Gnostic wants to speak, expressing the jealousy he feels that love demands, but he sees that this can manifest only with his permission. For he sees Allah before he sees the creation, and he sees that he controls what they say, and that he is the one who puts the veil on them. So the lover hides this grief and sorrow in the lower world of the dunya, and knows that in the final abode, the akhirah, he will have no more grief or sorrow. So he seeks to abandon the lower world and to continuously be with Allah. Know that the lover is enchanted with obeying his beloved, and he does not oppose any of his commands. One of the lovers admonishing the lovers seeking to gain Allah's love said, you disobey Allah, but you cannot rebel against his love. This is the paradox of this excellent creation. If your love were sincere and truthful, you would have obeyed him, for the true lover is obedient to his beloved. The lover is a slave, abd, and slavery, ubudia, is standing ready to obey the commands of the master and to avoid his prohibitions so that the master does not see the slave where he prohibited him to be, and he does not miss seeing him where he commanded him to be. The slave is always in surrender between his hands. If the master commands him, the lover sees it as a gift, because when he commands him, it is his purpose for him. On the other hand, if the lover does not witness him, but becomes busy enjoying the pleasures given to him by Allah, the slave, knowing that Allah is his master, protector, and lover, supplicates to him. Because Allah is the lover, he commands his beloved in this disobedient state, to humbly entreat him, to help him know what he wants and loves and what he dislikes. This is expressed in his prayer. Do not let our hearts waver. Do not assault us with your wrath. And do not let us bear that which is not in our capacity. All of these supplications ask for the prevention of disobedience, because disobedience is from the slave and its prevention belongs to his master. He grants the slave what he asks for of protection and repentance, as the lover always grants the wishes of his beloved, and the slave expresses his love with obedience to his master. Know that the lover's heart is perplexed, and that is why it is named the turning of Qalb. The heart turns in all directions, and so it has many faces and many deeds. And this is the quality of the perplexed, especially if the real is what appears to him in every face. The many directions of each event result in hesitation. The lover turns, asking which direction to choose to act and which direction is most pleasing to the beloved. We do not recognize which is more pleasing and that which is better, but he knows which is more pleasing and which is better for our reality. Nevertheless, we do not know which is better and more pleasing in regard to that which is obligatory, affordered, and that which is supererogatory, novel. And we know that the obligatory is more pleasing than the supererogatory, but in regard to making atonement, kafara, there are many choices available, and is it not clear which is better and which is more pleasing? This is also the case regarding supererogatory actions, which is better and which is the best. A renewed definition is essential for each circumstance, and the lover's heart is perplexed concerning the existence towards which it seeks to turn. So the lover of Allah is busy with a particular affair every day. The whole world with its many dimensions is entrusted to the human being, and he is charged to sincerely care for the trust, al-amina, until he returns it to the real owner. The person is entrusted with many trusts, as in qualities, and he must fulfill the right duty at its right time. In other words, he is entrusted with a particular trust at different times. The Gnostics, who are the lovers of Allah, busy themselves with what their beloved asks of them, looking at him with love and awe, and his love makes them like bewildered orphans between proximity, qurb, and distance, bud. They prefer his companionship to any other association, and he is their possessor. This is expressed in his saying, he is with you wherever you are, Quran 57:4. And everything in the world accompanies the Gnostic because of the trust that is in his hands. Once a Gnostic was asked, what is sustenance, al-Qut? He answered, Allah. He was asked, but do you not want the food with which life is preserved? And he answered, Allah. He did not see anything but Allah. However, they insisted and said to him, we are asking about the sustenance by which this body is built. When he saw that they did not understand him, he modified his answer and said, leave the houses to the builder of the houses. If he wills, he builds it, and he'll destroy it. It does not befit the subtle nature of humanity to associate itself with that particular physical form. Instead, the human soul should busy itself with what the beloved has charged it with, because he is the very essence of its life and its very being. Whatever house he lets the soul dwell in, it dwells in that house. He abstracted the essence, the Jawhar, from its natural disposition, al-tabiyyah, as it was unveiled to him. He called for abstracting oneself from nature and for rising up in relationship to it. This Gnostic preferred Allah over any association. Allah, the lover, favored the real human being as his beloved over all of the beings in the world. He gave him a perfect and complete picture which he did not give to any other creature, even though they are all described as reciting glorifications and praise of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when your Lord said to the angels, I shall place upon the earth a vicegerent, from Quran 2:30, he then gave the human being the godly names, and so the human exalts and praises each divine name. There is no other creature even among the angels, and Allah favored with complete gnosis of the names except the perfect man. And so he is more favored than the angels in this presence and in this station, Makam. Know that the lover is obliteration in affirmation. His affirmation manifested in charging him with active worship as a means of connection. And he also affirmed the existence of the slave that way. Regarding his obliteration of the slave, it is expressed in his sayings. He has created everything and has determined its nature with exact determination. From Quran 25:2. And to Allah alone shall everything return. Quran 3:109. And to Allah all matters shall be returned. Quran 8:44. And you did not throw when you threw, but rather it was Allah who threw. Quran 8:6:17. And my ability to do so is only by Allah. Quran 11:88. This is a clear expression from Allah's book that the human is obliteration in affirmation. The lover has no control except to surrender to the one controlling him. His love perplexes him because he does not want anything except that which Allah wants from him. Reality rejects everything but this truth. Everything that comes from the worshipful slave is created by Allah. And the slave is in reality acted upon, and he is not a doer. The slave is the locus through which all the divine imperatives flow. Thus he is obliteration in affirmation. The lover of Allah does not look at the actions of the slave, because in so doing he would be obliterating the real. He knows this from the unveiling of the real existence. For there is no real existence for the slave or for the universe. This has no intellectual proof, but is realized through the unveiling. Hush. The unveiling is affirmation of the real. It's the obliteration of the slave in the lower world into the world of witnessing and affirming the presence that is witnessed. Love. Love prevents the lover from seeing the causes. So the lover only sees his beloved. And on one hand, he's ignorant of what the universe needs from him within him. So he must fulfill his rights upon him. And this was expressed by the Messenger of Allah. He said, "Your visitors have rights over you." In this expression, he included the entire state of the world, which is in translation, which is in a state of visitation. This comes from the eloquent speech of a lover who trained himself to do what his beloved wants of him, and from this perspective he knew the rights of the world upon him. The real is the wise and does not move. His lover, except towards a particular action and towards fulfilling a particular right that he asks of him at a particular time. And although Allah, and through Allah, he knows the world and gains witnessing of the real, as it was expressed in the saying of the sincere believer Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, "I have never seen anything but that I have seen Allah in front of it." And in this way, he witnessed the essence of the world through witnessing Allah. The real self, Adat, does not allow the creation to control him, but rather makes the souls of the world in poverty and need of what preserves them, their benefits and their ultimate purpose. This means he wills himself to fulfill their needs from him and their needs by him. If they ask him for something and do not receive the immediate fulfillment of their need, it is because the time for its fulfillment has not arrived. And he said to them, "We will empty you of all needs," and he is the doer in every case. His self is not a locus of the manifestation of imprints. But the readiness is already there, and he is ready for what the universe needs. In everything he brings into existence, he has an act of praise, tasbih, which is the nourishment of that being. Which is why he informs us that there is nothing in the universe that does not celebrate his praise. The lover's search is to connect with the beloved, and his search is to follow the will of the beloved, and the beloved may sometimes want what contradicts the joy of connection because of the qualities of the lover. The first lover is Allah in his essence, and he is what lasts forever. So his lasting love resides with his initial love, and his initial love resides in his lasting love. So there is nothing but his essence, because his initial is his essence, and his lasting is his slave, who is his beloved. His qualities are mixed with the qualities of his beloved. You are not free to say it is the slave, and you are not free to say it is the master, and at the same time you are truthful with both declarations. This is the rule of becoming mixed together. The lover has no self with his beloved. He is comfortable saying whatever he wants because his beloved is within every soul he watches. And his beloved watches for the love within the relationship in order to manage it. Then the lover is always making an effort to please his beloved, and because his pleasure is unknown, the lover has no rest, and this is the meaning of he has no self. Nevertheless, the lover is at peace with his self, the nafs, which results in the obliteration of distress and adversity. This is a characteristic of the sincere lover who is truthful in his love. The lover holds on to Allah, saying, every day he is upon a matter. Quran 55:29. Knowing that Allah only does what is right for his worshippers, who are his lovers, and in turn for the benefit of the rest of humanity. Allah is busy with what benefits them in the lower world, the dunya, and in the final abode, Akhirah. He is attributed as being beyond weariness or fatigue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we indeed created the heavens and the earth and everything between them in six cycles of time, and no weariness touched us. Quran 50:38. This is also expressed in a saying, were we worn out by the first creation? In no way. But they are in doubt about the new creation. Quran 50:15. Meaning that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always creating his worshippers anew, as in his saying, every day he is upon a matter. Quran 55:29. About the possessors of happiness, al-asada, he says, no fatigue touches them within. Quran 15:48. Even though in every state they are acting for the rights of Allah and not for their own rights. Thus, this in turn is rewarding to them, but they do not seek this reward in itself. However, the reality of the affairs gives them this reward. This is the meaning of describing the lover as having no breath except by his beloved. On page 157, the second paragraph, and bring this reading to an end, and I think I'm going to see if I can finish this chapter with another recording and link the two together. Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.